in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Our love. If you have a Westminster Bible, you will see that it says in as an expectation of it, love with us. And it is exactly what the Greek says. Love with us. Love among the Lord's people, love among the church, is a distinctive love. It occurs nowhere else, but it is the word that the Bible always uses for the love of God and our love toward him. It's not the love of friends. Philadelphia, the philbit, means the love of brethren. Philosophy means the love of wisdom. But it's not that sort of love, innocent though that love may be. Neither is it any form of lust love or any love within a family that is perfectly correct. It is the love within the family of the Lord's people. It is the love with which the Father loves us. Basically, that word tells us that it's a disinterested love. That is to say, what does God get out of loving us? His portion is his people, and it is his choice. But it can be no gain to him and his being and that he has such people. However, we get great gain. It's a disinterested love. And we love the Lord in return with that love. We've already had the benefits of it before we can love like that. So we're not seeking to gain anything out of it either. More blessings from God in a way that isn't appropriate. And it's a disinterested love towards those we meet in the church and in the world. We do not desire to have any unsatisfactory relationships with them. There is a distinctive love among the Lord's people that comes from God. Herein is our love, love among us, made perfect. So this love which is distinctively ours, this love which is distinctively the church's, originates in God. And I'm just going to work quickly through verses 7 onwards. Beloved, let us love one another. Because that love is the love of God working through us. All the characteristics of the love with which the Father had for the Son has for us, and we have for one another. This is the way of it. But we mustn't be strangers to that love. Let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone that loveth in this sort of way is born again. Everyone that loveth in this sort of way is born of God and knows him. Because when you've experienced the presence of the Lord and his love towards you and his care towards you, you may say you know him. When he has called you personally and delivered you from your sins, you may say you know him. But he that loveth not in this way knoweth not God. For God is this sort of love, a pure love, seeking to get nothing out of it, seeking to impart nothing but benefit to those who receive it. In this was manifested, or in this particular way was the love of God made obvious to us, made clear to us. That because he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. The great quality of that love is that love which sent his Son. Even among men, as the Lord Jesus said, If a man, nothing more a man can give than to die for his friend. And the Lord Jesus died for us. But it was a reflection of the love of the Father which he has towards his people in sending that Saviour who himself went through death to remove our sins from us that we might live for him. Herein then is love. That is to say, we would not really have begun to experience that love but for this. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. All love of this sort is initiated by him, begins with him. Nobody loves in this sort of way from his own bat. It is because of the Father and the Son. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And that is a great wonder, that the love of God is shed abroad to the hearts of those who believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Love is linked to all these things. But he sent his Son. The love was to those who were sinners. The love were to those who were reckless in their sin, careless in their sin, lived contrary to God in their sin. Yet that love of God in his initiative made his Son a propitiation, making up to him, if you like, propitiation for our sins. By the Lord's righteousness, we are delivered, and we love that righteousness. And we love that death. We love that propitiation. And the Father had everything to lose, so to speak, by losing his Son and giving him to the world. But of course he didn't lose him. He raised him from the dead, and with him a whole people who love him and who love his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved then, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That word so is once again quality, not quantity. Quality includes quantity in the scriptures. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It isn't so much. It's God loved the world in this special way. But it does include quantity. He did love us so much in the quantitative sense. It's the same here as well. If God so loved us, if God so loved us as to send his Son for us, if the Lord, the Father had such a love that was of that nature that he was even prepared to pass part with his Son, if God so loved us, and that includes quantity, if God loved us so much as to do that, but basically it is quality, not quantity. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. That being the ruling factor of every believer's life, we ought also to love one another in this way. We're still dealing with this love with us, with which our verse begins. No man hath seen God at any time. But if we love one another, we couldn't have this sort of love for one another. We might have friendship for one another. We might have common interests. But we couldn't have this sort of love for one another unless God was dwelling in us, saving us. He would only dwell within us because he saved us from our sins in his dear Son. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. Now, perfect love comes up in our verse and the verse after. And we're thinking of the perfecting of this love, what it achieves, what it accomplishes. This love that is so distinctive and only applicable to Christians, the love of Christ to save them and their love in response to that. God dwelleth his love in love, and his love is made perfect in us. Without us to reflect all the powers of his love, it wouldn't be complete. The word perfect equals complete. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit, and his Spirit also his love. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So the basic constituents of this love towards one another is that we acknowledge that Jesus, we trust that Jesus is the Saviour from sin, from our sin. And it is the response to knowing our sins forgiven and ourselves accepted eternally that prompts and enables that love to issue from us. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us, because we believed the gospel, because we believed that sins were paid for, that our transgressions were paid for by Christ on the cross. Love comes from being valued in that sort of way by the Father and by the Son. And when you have such a valuable form of love, that is to be constantly repeated among the brethren. We all know that love in that way, and we may all share that love together with one another. It's good to have a place in this dark world where we may live among one another in love and in the pleasantness, but in the love knowing that we are cared for, the love knowing that God gave his only Son. What would we not give for one another? How can we love one another in response to that same Spirit? God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, that sort of love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. So we come to our verse. So this is the nature of love among us. Herein is our love. Our particular sort of love which comes from the Father, the love that we exercise towards one another. Here is the love among us, the love which is the characteristic of the church. It's made perfect in a certain thing that follows in the verse. Herein, in this particular thing, is our love made perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. The book of Hebrews, written by Paul, has in a very early chapter that the Lord came to deliver from death those who spent their lifetime in bondage through fear of death. You may have some sympathy with that feeling. It may have characterized you. It's naturally implanted in every man, fear of death. But not everyone lives in bondage to that fear. Some never think about it. Some don't want to think about it. Some put it under. But there are those who spend their lifetime in bondage through fear of death. It spoils everything they do, knowing that they can't have it forever. Knowing that they themselves are going to get weaker and one day they're going to die. Bondage through the fear of death. But there is something worse than bondage through the fear of death. For it's after death, the judgment. And a sinner knows that after death he is going to be judged. It's written deep down in us. We can play games. We can say even on their deathbed, we don't care. But there is that in the spirit of man that does care, that is queasy about what's going to happen after death. It's just bravado that is able to say these things. And so it is that the Lord has come to deliver those who spent their lifetime in bondage through fear of death. And the thing that's worse, that follows, the day of judgment. Supposing we weren't Christians, every single word we've said will be brought up against us in the day of judgment. Every single thought that we've thought would be brought up against us in the day of judgment. Every single deed that we have done will be brought up against us in the day of judgment. And so on throughout all our lives, all our failures, all our omissions, all our successes, if they're linked with pride. But all these things would come up on the day of judgment to the condemnation, to the shame of those who've done these things. But we did these things. So what is our verse moving on to tell us? It tells us that this sort of love that we have known from God has a purpose. It's perfected. It's completed. Herein is our love completed. This sort of love, herein is it made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. There would be a sort of boldness that there was impudence. There would be a sort of boldness that would be cheeky to God and would be totally unacceptable and would cause the angels to take their breath away. But we may have boldness that is real and secure and palpable. We may have this sort of boldness on that day of all days. We've just had exam results and exams. You learn all these things at school, but there's one day when it counts. Muck that day up and that's it. There's one day when it counts. And the day of judgment, and of course the day of death, which introduces it, but the day of judgment is the thing that counts. If you say something you shouldn't say, it can be forgiven the next day or the next opportunity. But if it spreads beyond death and into the day of judgment, that's when it counts. That's when the reward for what you've said, that's when the implications of what you've said are all manifested and magnified. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment that is real, that is the culmination of God's love toward us, the drawing of a people to himself, through this propitiation which Christ went through for, in order to pay the price of our sin. For this very thing, this love is made complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Just how remarkable a thing that is. It's wonderful to behold. Boldness in the day of judgment. How? Because as he is, so are we in this world. What doctrine is here? What doctrine is here? How is Christ as he is? He is perfect. He is everlasting. He is God. And he is in heaven. He never did sin. He never thought anything wrong. He never reacted badly or inappropriately to anything that happened to him. As he is, so are we. That's wonderful. But as he is in glory, we're here like that now. That's even more wonderful. As he is in heaven, so are we now on earth. Now, the theologians call it the imputation. Imputation. sees us in him. Though we're still here on earth, and though there is still the remnant of sin, it has been put to death. It is dying like a plant that's been put to death. And the Father sees us in that love which Christ has spent, and the aim for which it was made, to give us eternal life and to be with him in his image. So he sees us like that now. As he is, so are we now. So are we in this world. I've often thought, well, I suppose it would be remarkable anyway if the scripture said, because as he is, so will we be. But it doesn't say that, does it? As he is, so are we in this world. The brethren used to speak much, can't think of the exact phrase, but about citizenship in heaven. That even now we had a citizenship in heaven. And even now our sins are forgiven through faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even now the Lord sees us like that. The Father sees us like that. It's something that is so splendid, so wonderful, but it does remove those things that were so ingrained in the natural man, the fear of death and the fear of the judgment that follow. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, when it really matters. Why? Because the Lord Jesus presents us perfect in him as he is. So we will be then. But because we will be then, in his sight we are like that now. Imputation of the righteousness of Christ to every believer whose sin has been forgiven. So, this is the aim of love, and this is the thoroughgoing nature of love, and this is the love that we share. And as a gospel service, because this is what many people have never experienced, you know, in their hearts that they would actually love to experience. How can they obtain it? By confessing their sins, by turning to the only name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a comment on verse 17 in verse 18. Herein is our love made perfect, verse 17. But there is no fear in love. Afraid of death, spent all the lifetime in bondage. Afraid of the day of judgment, would we be acceptable and all these things. But love does not allow that fear. There is no fear in experiencing the love of the Father towards us, who's given us to his Son, that our sins might be forgiven, that we may be children of the Father and the sheep of the Son. There's no fear. Now, we mortals are fearful. We fear death. We fear all sorts of things. We fear the pain. We fear illness. We fear operation. We fear many things, and those fears are very deep. But in this sort of love of Christ, which has delivered us from sin, its aim is to make us perfect. And in perfect love, there is no fear. We aren't afraid of God, or we reverence him, but we're not afraid of how he will deal with us. There is no fear in love. It is of the nature of the completeness of the love which Christ, God has for us in Christ. It is the nature of the fear, the nature of the love, that it casts out fear. Where there's light, you can't have dark. Where there's dark, you can't have light. A light could shine like the moon, but the two things are incompatible. And where there is the love of God fully experienced, fear is banished. Fear is banished. Because fear hath torment. The sting of death is sin. Fear has torment, and that torment lies in the fact that the conscience is troubled by Satan. You did this, you did that, how can you expect to be saved? And so on. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. If we still fear, then we must rethink again the distinctive love that God has for his people in sending his son. For what purpose? Utterly to take away their sin. Utterly to pay the price of that sin. And that love gave him. And we have received that love. And this is the love in which we dwell. This is the love that is our home value, if you like. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. There is still work to understand and to pray about and to do. And all this love is because he first loved us. It all begins with God. His portion is his people. Thou art my portion, saith my soul. That love of God is foundational. It all begins with him. And therefore, our response to him is to love him through Christ, but above all, to love one another. Well, not above all. But what is seen on earth is our love toward one another. Herein is our love, or love among us, made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Amen.